Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. But you can find out more about what's going on in economic development and growth in our community with our guests who are here today. We have Jennifer Wilford, who heads up the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. And what's your name? Oh, yes, Norwood, right?
Rick, yeah. I'm not important.
Rick Norwood, who has an official title here of Director of Industrial Recruitment. Is that right?
That's correct.
Close enough. All right. Well, good to have you all here today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Jennifer, tell everybody a little bit about you.
I'm the director of Rock Hill's Economic and Urban Development Department and the director of the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. I've been with the city for almost 19 years now.
Jeez.
But just took the helm in this role in November. So it's been a busy 3 or 4 months now, having a great time working with Rick and the rest of the gang.
Whoa. You don't really want to say that.
I do.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, this program's supposed to be truthful.
We are having a great time, aren't we, Rick?
Absolutely.
Hi, Rick. Same to you. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm originally from Rock Hill, and I've been working with the city for about 17 years, actually, believe it or not. And I've worked primarily with the industrial parks on new industry that comes to town and existing industry that is expanding and industry that we're trying to retain in the community. So,
needless to say, all you have to do is just, I don't know, get in a car and drive a few blocks and take a look. Is there anything that is not happening in Rock Hill right now? I mean, seriously.
I think we stay busy with a little bit of everything is kind of what we've been saying. Small business, medium business, big businesses.
Yeah. Big business, yeah. I mean, we've got everything from the redevelopment of downtown Rock Hill, which is really smoking right now, to what the Carolina Panthers are doing out there by the interstate. The industrial parks seem to be humming along very well. And, in fact, that's why we're here today, because the city is in the process of developing a new industrial park, because sure enough, if you don't get them ready, you won't have any inventory for somebody to come locate in with the rate we're going. Is that basically the problem we have? We're filling it up quickly?
Well, yeah, we every time a new park is opened, it has filled up quicker than we expected. Most recently with Riverwalk, it's about a 300-acre park. It was open right before the recession of 2008, 2009, but once we came out of that recession, it took off like wildfire. Legacy East and Legacy West off of Springdale Road in 21, it's about 70% full now, and so you have to stay about 5 years ahead of the curve to make sure you're putting together the property and the infrastructure that you need to put these parks together. So we were working on Aspen while we were developing Legacy East and Legacy West, talking with the property owners, trying to get all the agreements together. So now it's finally starting to happen, and we look like we're going to start with our first phase of infrastructure sometime late this summer, and that should be completed in the spring of 2022. But that hasn't kept us from going ahead and selling property and entertaining prospects. We've got a contract on the very first site in the park right now, and we've got a letter of intent to purchase another site in the park. So that's happening fast and furious. We're selling property there, or anticipate selling property there, before we turn over the first shovel of dirt. So,
well, let's go back a few steps, because okay. I think people need to appreciate how this stuff evolves. I mean, from what I understand about Aspen, you had two property owners there And just to pull those two people together in an agreement that would allow everybody to benefit probably took at least a year, if not two.
Longer than a year. How long is this show? I don't think we have enough time to go over all of it.
But I mean, really, it takes a long time to pull something like that together.
It does. There's two property owners. There was about 80 or 90 acres that has been owned by the Reformed Theological Seminary out of Mississippi for 20-some-odd years. They didn't really have any use for the property. And we've had conversations with them about a park for probably 5 or 10 years. And then there's the adjoining property, which is owned by the Barron family. We affectionately call them the Barron sisters that own that property. And they are represented by Childress Klein, who we're familiar with, because Childress Klein was the developing partner we had at Waterford. So they do great work. They're one of the largest industrial and commercial builders in the country. But yes, it started with just a conversation. Are you interested? Would we like to assemble this property? And we put together one of our famous memorandums of understanding that we do when we start these developments. But it's good because it gets everybody kind of on the same page and thinking the same way and discovering if there's any objections like that. So it took some time before we actually were able to get the property assembled, a plan together, annexed into the city, and working with Bowler Engineering to put together all the infrastructure plans. So.
And then you have to, as part of this, not only do you have to negotiate with the property owners, but then you want to bring Childress Klein into the fold because they're basically co-developing this with the city.
That's correct. Yeah, the Barron property, they prefer to lease that property instead of sell it.
Right.
And then our property, we're selling that to either to a developer, which they'll in turn lease to an end user, or we're selling it to companies that want to own their own building.
Right.
So we won't be in the Rock Hill Economic Development, won't be in the lease building. So, and I need to say this because I don't want to forget it. We have a lot of partners helping us. Santee Cooper helped us with a grant to get the park started. The Department of Commerce has helped us with our infrastructure, with our sewer line. The county has helped us as well. I don't want to leave anybody out, but it's we
the
always
city is funding
and the
some
city.
Of the sewer.
It's all
hands on deck.
It's
all
a team
hands
sport.
On deck. Well, speaking of team sport, let's bring in the boss lady and let her take the rest of the show.
No.
To talk about the fun that we've all had with Norfolk Southern, because right at the entrance to this property, which runs parallel to 161, there's a railroad track. I should say an abandoned railroad track. Now, how long did that take to try to figure that one out?
I'm not sure that it's over yet.
These are all works in progress.
Yes. But seriously, I think anybody who knows has had any history with the railroad, because they've had eminent domain since day one, they treasure that and hold on to that. And it can be dicey trying to negotiate something with them that impacts their line, whether it's abandoned or not abandoned. And it was all hands on deck. I don't know how many years that took, but we had to pull in a lot of political muscle to finally get somebody to even pay attention to the idea.
Well, I'll let Jennifer address the details of that, but when you're in economic development, everybody is your friend.
Yeah, and you know, we're also negotiating with SCDOT because, as you know, Celanese is a state road, and so we've got to get encroachment permits. We're, you know, tying in our new roadway into their existing roadway. We've got to coordinate our intersection and our signalized new streetlights there. So it really is a team sport. I think Rick said it exactly.
Absolutely.
Right. And our engineering team, our project management team here at the city is doing a phenomenal job, but it really is weekly calls with teams of engineers to get us to the point that we're at. And now as we're entertaining prospects, they've got engineering teams that we've got to bring along because we've got to coordinate site access as we look at potential entrances for those sites. And so it's a complex process that we're negotiating.
That takes time, a lot of time. I mean, since day one when this thing was envisioned, let's get started on this. How many years do we have it at so far?
I think it, since really getting on it in earnest, I think at least 3 years.
I was going to say, yeah. 3 years. And then you talk about the expenses of this thing. I mean, I know your agreements with your partners and landowners and what have you are all in place, but there's a lot of upfront money that has to be spent on doing engineering, blah, blah, blah. Where does that all come from?
Well, I mentioned some of our partners already that the Santee Cooper Grant helped us get the park started. Rockhill Economic Development has financed the property with the Reformed Theological Seminary. So as we sell off property, we'll pay that note down. They were very generous in working out a deal with us so that we wouldn't have to put quite as much cash up front for that property and let us finance it over some time with a very reasonable interest rate and a repayment period. And then you also have our partner, Childress Klein, who's put up, the split on the ownership is about 65 with the Barron property and about 35% with Rockhill Economic Development. So all that expense that falls on the owners is split 65-35.
Right.
And of course, we're constantly in touch with them about developments and changes. And we haven't even bid the road out yet.
So, I was going to say,
we don't know what asphalt's going to cost at the end of the summer. So it's like building a house. How many times does the cost of the house come down when you're in the process of building it? Probably
never.
So
we try
to anticipate that, but it's hard to do.
And you're doing all this right when the construction prices could not be higher for labor and materials. I mean, it's just unbelievable what it is right now. And with all this work going on, it's not going to go down.
No, it is
absolutely not going to go down. So you do your pro formas, and I've seen enough of that stuff. It's all based on what your best, quote, guess is. And you just kind of keep your fingers crossed and hope the heavens it just doesn't go crazy.
It's the price of being in an extremely vibrant market. Some people are not fans of growth. I understand that, but I can tell you it's a lot. I would much rather deal with the problems of growth than the problems of decline.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. So.
Having lived in an area before I came to Rock Hill that was, quote, in decline, I can trust me when I tell you, you'd much rather have the situation we have here right now. So for right now, we've got all these plans done. You do have an agreement with the railroad.
Correct.
Which is an interesting agreement because you're going to have to pay to do everything that has to be done to extend. You're going to extend Museum Road through the park. Is that right?
That's correct. It'll connect into Heckle Boulevard eventually in Phase 2. Phase 1 is actually going to be called International Drive. And when it's completed, hopefully we'll have two brand-new buildings under construction, fingers crossed. I'm always selling, so.
Attaboy.
I try to convince Jennifer that that's really the only thing I'm supposed to do is just bring in the prospects and let everybody else deal with the headaches. I haven't been able to convince her of that.
He talks about his job description all the time.
So the road will eventually will connect all the way to Heckle Boulevard.
Correct.
Is it going to be a two-lane road, three-lane road? What is it going to be?
I think it's a two-lane with a turn lane in the center.
Okay. So. All right. Now, to get to that point your first phase is going to take the road how deep into the park?
How many feet does that go? I should know that.
About where the Coca-Cola building is?
Not quite that far.
Not quite that far.
Aspendale is the road that's sort of the cut through now. It's a dirt road. It will be closed. So I'll know it will extend to where it intersects with Aspendale.
Right.
Just
past that intersection. So I don't know how many feet exactly that is. So.
Will you be able to access the park off of Hollis Lakes?
No.
Not in Phase 1.
No.
There's been a concerted effort not to have an impact on Hollis Lake Road.
Right.
With truck traffic or employee traffic, so there won't be any access to the business park off of Hollis Lake.
Right. And when this thing was initially brought before the public and you had a neighborhood meeting, that was one thing loud and clear that came out.
Yeah. We got a lot of feedback. Yeah. We were very sensitive to the needs of those folks, and we wanted to make sure we didn't disturb that. So we changed the plan, the city council directive to change the plan to eliminate access off of Hollis Lake Road.
So I tell you what, we got to take our mid-program break. Let's go ahead and do that first. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, Rick, you have not been here for a while. The cue card is behind Jennifer over here. We all do this together. We read the white letters out loud because we want everybody to know what happens here at Substation 2 7 days a week. Fresh subs and salads, the way they are prepared. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come, but we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-646.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Jennifer Wilford, and Rick Norwood with Rock Hill's Economic and Urban Development Department, also known as RHEDC, which is a subchapter of the Rock Hill Economic Urban Development Office, are here, and we're talking about Aspen Park, which is Rock Hill's newest entree into the industrial park business. They've been at it for well over 3 years, probably got another 3 years worth of work in it before it's really finished out. So your timetable right now is what? You've basically done a lot of the logistical work. You got the partnerships together, you got the landowners together, you have done a lot of the engineering work. I think you mentioned that sometime later this year they'll actually start putting the infrastructure in, which is where the tab starts to get pretty expensive, right?
Correct. Yes.
And people should understand that the RHEDC over the years has been, it's funded entirely off of land sales, and that money has been squirreled away for projects like this, and so you right. reach in your own coffers to make it happen, and then you get back out.
Right. So, yeah, the RHEDC's, you were here when the first park was, when the first load of dirt was delivered.
Watch it now.
When the airport industrial park was built, and then we took that positive momentum and went to Tech Park and Waterford, and as we've continued this process, we've done more of a public-private type partnership with developers.
Right.
So this is sort of what we're into with Aspen as well. So, but the question on infrastructure, what we've discovered in just about every park is once you pave the spine road that goes into the park, that is really when the momentum gets started. So we're fortunate to have some momentum starting early, but I think with the combination of having a new building, possibly two, and a spine road under construction, is going to really, it makes a statement, and the rest of the development community sees that it's really happening, and then I think it'll really take off from there.
And then, of course, you know, we mentioned the fact that you got the railroad to deal with, you got the SCDOT to deal with. You also have wetlands to deal with, which is always
an issue. Army Corps. Yes, I've learned more about the wetlands and Army Corps in the last couple of years than I've ever known.
Rick is well-versed in a series of engineering terms now.
I think I might be an honorary engineer.
He puts his badge on sometimes.
I see. Got a hard hat, too, I bet.
Yeah, I do.
Sure.
I do.
But, I mean, this property has some wetlands issues, correct?
It does. It does. And our engineering group and our project manager, Ivan McCorkle, is doing a great job of working through that. They changed their whole system of how they evaluate wetlands in the last 30 days. So it's positive. It seems like it's going to be a positive impact on the park, a cost reduction because of some of the bottomless culverts that we have to put in. You want to go into detail on the bottomless culverts?
No, please don't.
I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, we'll leave that one. So at this point, when you say you've got prospects already, when there's virtually nothing to see except lots of maps and here's what it's going to look like, where are they coming from? Are they coming from Childress Klein? Are they coming from just a buzz within the economic development community?
Yeah, most of our projects come from the brokerage community in Charlotte, and they're very much aware of what's happening in Rock Hill. They always have been. Some of our prospects come from expired leases, companies that have their leases expiring and they're looking to expand, and it's a good opportunity for them to take a peek across the state line to see what South Carolina can offer. And we also get prospects from the Department of Commerce. Usually those are a little bit larger that are looking, initially they're looking all over the state. And then our goal, of course, in economic development is just to never get eliminated. So we're looking at another large project now. It's not at Aspen. It's at Legacy East that were just in town this past week. So, and that lead came to us from the South Carolina Department of Commerce. And, of course, York County is our other strong economic development partner, and they pick up initial leads as well. So.
And I heard on the news this morning that, what is it, a bedding company or something just leased a major building out there, Legacy?
I think it's Millie.
That's right? That's right.
Riverwalk.
Right, Riverwalk. That's exactly right. Okay, so...
So I just jumped all over the city in a matter of 30 seconds, and I don't have any notes.
Is he trying to tell us something, Jennifer? I think he's trying to
he
promote
wants to be
his...
impressed.
I think he's more about impressing you.
ADHD comes in handy sometimes.
Now, are you at liberty yet to tell us about any of these prospects? No names, but I mean, what kinds of businesses they are?
The three I just mentioned are all manufacturing companies.
Okay.
So that's been, you know, we've gotten more than our fair share of distribution centers.
Right.
Proximity to the interstate. The core, of course, of the economic development in our region is Charlotte and the Charlotte Airport. And Westinghouse Boulevard has traditionally been the hotbed for industrial development. It's filling up. I mean, there's just not much property left there at all. So it's squeezing out toward the north on I-85, toward Cabarrus County, and toward the south into York County on those two interstate arteries. So, We're pleased about that.
And our land values down here, while they may seem high to some people, are not anywhere near as high as they are to that suburb to the north.
That's correct. That's correct. It's kind of like living close to the lake.
Yeah, exactly.
Closer to the water, the more expensive it is.
And the fact that this project is whatever it is, 3 miles or so.
Right, maybe, four. Yep.
Four miles from the interstate. For the kinds of people that you're attracting, that's not a big deal.
No, it's not. Now, depending on how some distribution companies don't want to be any more than a mile off the interstate.
Right.
That's not really who we're marketing to. We're hoping to get more manufacturing companies because their wages are a little bit higher, and they tend to stay in the community a little bit longer. So that's
and it's a better tax base for the city as well.
That's correct. Yes.
Because they have all kinds of equipment in there.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's the big question, gang. You've done a noble job on Aspen Park. You still got a lot of work to do. Waterford is filling up. Antrim. Is Antrim filled?
Pretty much, yes.
Pretty much filled. The Airport Industrial Park filled?
Yes.
Pretty much filled. So, and it won't be long before this one's probably filled, Aspen. So are you already beginning to think about, okay, it's going to take us 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever, to get another one online? Are you looking around already?
We are. We've already had conversations with property owners as you travel further south down I-77, just gauging their interest in an industrial park development. In some cases, these are properties that have been in families for hundreds of years. They have to bring the family together to make these decisions, so it's a slow process. But the conversations are taking place. We know who the property owners are, and we'll probably be working closely with York County on the next development, because most all of these properties are outside the city limits.
And you have this big issue called water and sewer.
Right. It's kind of important.
Really? Yeah. You need that, huh?
You know, the first economic development course I ever took, the instructor stood up and he said, you know, he thought, we all thought we were, you know, pretty big deal, which we all know that I'm not. I'm not saying that. But he said, all economic development starts in the sewer. And everybody laughed, but he's actually correct. And in Aspen, the very first piece of infrastructure we put in was a sewer line. So those are the basic questions that all the prospects ask when they come into town. Sewer capacity, water capacity, where are your electrical transformers, is there redundancy in your system, things like that. So everything about infrastructure is you got to check all those boxes before you're going to make the next cut. And fortunately, Rock Hill has done a fantastic job of keeping and maintaining capacity on all fronts. So we're ready for the growth to happen.
Well, it's important that, you know, when the city owns its own infrastructure, including the electric aspects of it, that they can control all that stuff. And millions of dollars are poured into it every year. But I'm surprised that you didn't mention on that checklist, one thing that a lot of these employers are also interested in is a thing called quality of life. True?
Absolutely, yes. So all of the 9 counties that are our primary competition around Charlotte sell that quality of life, the fact that we're close enough to Charlotte for you to go see professional sports, or you can go see a play at the Bloomingthal, but they're not great restaurants, but we've got a lot of that stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
Already.
You think?
We've got a lot of great places to eat, a lot of places to go. So people want to know that their employees are going to have a good place to get a good education, a great place to live, and be in a great community with a great education system. So, you know, in economic development, everything matters. So I could just laundry list everything about what's great about Rock Hill, because it matters to our prospects.
Well, take your prospects and just let them tool around downtown and see what's going on.
They'll start
scratching their heads and say, my God,
yes.
This is unbelievable, right? As is evidenced last weekend with that massive amount of humanity out of the BMX and what was going on downtown at the Indoor Sports Center. I mean, it was amazing. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, as always.
Thank you for bringing him along.
Are you sure?
you did a good job.
Well,
I appreciate you being here. Thank you for all that you do, and keep on doing it, because it's an important part of what makes this community tick. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we all do it? 1, 2, 3. Slice.
Garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.